Praise God. Let's give Brother Smith a great big warm welcome. Brother Smith, we want you to come. God bless you. We love you. Love you, Kathy. All right. Take your liberty, okay? God bless you.
Here's the mic. Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Why don't we do that for Jesus? Come on. You may be seated. Could you look up a scripture for me, 1 Corinthians 3 and 9? And my wife is going to just greet you all. And that scripture will explain that we can't do anything by ourselves, church. Amen.
I just want to say, you know, your picture up that you're looking at right now, soon we're going to change that. The snow is going to melt and it's going to be real warm and sunny. But I want to thank everybody here. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. We had a great year. We really did. We had a great year. We saw a lot of growth. We saw growth in people, and we just saw growth numerically, too. So it was really good. We have a very good youth group. I don't know, when Brother Putnam came back, I really don't know if he gave any type of report at all, but we were really glad to have him. He blessed everybody there. Things are going very well. They really are. And it's exciting. And I just want to thank you for your support, because without it, we couldn't be doing what we're doing. And that really is the truth. There is some good, you really got some good brothers and sisters there. We got some really great young people. We really do. Sometime it'll be, and I know it's really not possible because you need visas, but it would be wonderful to bring, like, our youth group here. It really would be. It would be really exciting. I did take a little bit of a video tonight, so I'm going to email it back to them showing the church here. But I just want to thank you. Thanks for your prayers. Prayers do make a difference. Actually, just recently, right before we left, something happened. Actually, Lenny was working on a vehicle with one of our young people, and he didn't really know. He didn't have any driving experience, and Lenny asked him that the van was up on jacks, but it really was homemade jacks because it was some boards and some blocks. And Lenny could really tell you the story, but it goes back to, like, prayer, because he asked him to get in there and give it a little gas, just pull it up a little bit forward, and he kind of like gave it way too much gas. And Lenny had been laying down. I don't know if you, were you under the van before that? He was under the van right before this happened. And it was just like God told him, I better get out from underneath here. And he, just right before it happened, he got out from underneath the van, and he told Alex to give it gas, and Alex just floored it, went off the jacks and into a tree. But Lenny could have been underneath it. And I just thank God, prayers do make a difference. Thank you for praying for us. Lord bless you.
Praise the Lord. We serve an awesome God, and whatever you feel God has called you to do, He will always equip you to do that which He has called you to do. In whatever experiences you experience through life, it is to prepare you for what's down the road. When we got back this last year in April, well, not this year, but, you know, 2010, when we got back, I wasn't there 1 week, Pastor. The head gasket blew on the van. I had to tear the head off, get it welded, shave it, put it back on. The brakes went out of the other van. All this stuff was just falling apart. But we just fix it and go on and smile and thank you, Jesus. And we started doing a lot of construction on the building, finishing up the sidewalks. And we put on a overhang so you could pull up when the rain comes. It don't get you all soaking wet, because we got a fella in a wheelchair, and then we have another blind lady that you got to get her out of the van and get her to her seat because she can't see where she's going. So the overhang was real nice. Then we took the baptismal tank. We used to have a couch tank in the back of the church on the one side. You'll see it because people were baptized in it this year or this last year here. But we built a new one outside, and it works really nice. Amen. And that's all undercover. And then we put an addition on, so if any of you guys want to come down with pastor's permission, we got a place for you to stay now. I mean, it's a real nice little apartment. And that's where the Longs are staying, our replacement. You're going to see the Longs, they baptized. When they came down last year, God just blessed. They baptized like 10 people while we were gone. So the church was just growing, growing. When we finished this year, we had 27 baptized. No, 27 filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And they talked in tongues as the Holy Ghost came. Amen. And we had 30 baptized this in 2010. And this year so far, we had 2 filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized 1 on Sunday night. And 1 was filled with the Holy Ghost on Sunday night. And our record for 2011 is 107. Amen. That's pretty nice. Amen. And you're going to see, we got some, as you see the video, you're going to see all these vehicles. There was 18 vehicles in our parking lot. Now, you guys wouldn't think nothing of that because we pick up most everybody. But when you got 18 vehicles in your parking lot, you're going, thank you, Jesus, because that's all those people I don't have to pick up. Amen. And we get 30 in a van. You know, your 15-passenger vans, we get 30 in there. We've had 32 in them. Amen. And Mom's got a little bit smaller van. She gets 28 in there when she has to. Amen. We had in our old building that we had, it was 18 feet wide by 25 feet long. So you figure out, it's smaller than this platform, way smaller. And we had 93 people in there having church, and we still had the pulpit there, and we had the drums over here, and we get 93 people in that area. So the new building we got, we can get 500 in there. All right. Amen. We got new pews built this year. We had a tornado this year. You're going to see pictures of that. Weird. But man, we were out there doing the roof, and Barry from the Janesville Church, he came down and helped us for a month because we had the Leeward Island Conference there. And while we were up putting the galvanized on the roof, he goes, look at that over there. He's like, oh man. It was a tornado. But luckily it went out into the water and not come. But it looked like it was coming right at us at first. And we started praying, and it kind of went, and went back out. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. But the last week that we were down there, we were trying to get the apartment finished for the Longs. Not this Sunday, but the Sunday before, in December 2nd, Uraldo was picking up with the one bus. The clutch went out of it and pressure plates. So this last week, I had to put in a clutch and a pressure plate. Then the brakes went out of the car. I had to fix that. And then the drive shaft, the U-joint went out. That's where I almost got run over. But we got that fixed. And I changed all the oil on all the vehicles before we left, and we got the apartment finished. So God is so good. And he equipped me to do all that stuff back when I was farming. So God tells you, he just gives you stuff that you know how to do what you need to know how to do. Besides that, you guys can buy pizzas down here for $5 sometimes at those specials. But in Antigua, they're $80 to $100 for a pizza. So what we did was every quarter this year, every quarter, all our people are having a contest. Whoever teaches the most Bible studies, the number one person gets a whole pizza, which is like $100 to them. So that's pretty good. Mom makes good pizza, man. It's fresh. And the second guy, he gets a half a pizza, and the other guy gets a third of a pizza. But you wouldn't believe how many Bible studies they already got lined up to teach since we left. I mean, Pastor, you got the Bible studies? Yeah, that one morning I got up and I run off 20 copies each of 1 through 6. Amen. And they're getting ready to teach a lot of Bible studies. Our young people are praying for people. Amen. They're praying people through the Holy Ghost. They're out there doing it. We got an on fire youth group. If you want to get your guys, I don't know how your youth group is here, but if you got some duds and you want to get them fired up, just send them down there. Amen? Because I'll tell you what, they won't come back the same. They won't. Something will happen to them. Amen? We got a lot of good young people, and just a lot of neat things happen, and we'll show the DVD. Amen. I won't talk too much through it, but maybe a little. Anybody that wants to drive an Antigua and cement truck, just see me after service because we still got cement to do. Amen. Remember, we're laborers together. Amen. With God. See, it's not snowing anymore. Isn't this nice? That's when we were putting in the extra sidewalk and for the overhang, and that's the baptismal tank we were building. All that stuff, we just mix it up in our little two-bag mixer and pour it.
I'm the man on the street holding a sign. I know
Benjamin just came back from a job interview, and we put him to work right away. So he's there's our carport. We're adding on. It came in handy because as soon as we got it finished, it poured rain and we were able to use it right away.
I know how it looks, but please don't condemn me.
As Barry, he came down from the Janesville church and helped us for a month. He was a blessing. We built some more pews because when we took the baptismal tank out, we had more space, so we filled it up with pews. There's a baptismal tank there on the right. Alex, we got a lot of good young men. When we had the Leeward Island Conference, we had a youth for a youth evangelist, and that's where we had them outside. There's Brother Putnam pouring a little cement, you know. I put him to work. So if you come down here, I'll put you to work. Most everything we do is by hand except when we poured the cast the ceiling. There's an Antiguan dump cement truck. We poured that in 2 days. I think it was something like 40-some batches of cement. It's a lot of bags. There's Keenan. He's my right-hand man. He's helping me, man. He's the preacher man. I dedicated him as a preacher man. You should see him worship. He'll run around the church. He's an awesome guy. That's the new living quarters we put on. It was pouring rain that day, and we were pouring where the upstairs steps was going to be. That was the ceiling, the floor to the second floor. That we had a cement truck and a pumper truck come and pour that. I laid all the blocks on that, but I enjoy it. I just like working, I guess. We've seen a lot of people come in this year. It's been an awesome time. There's Uraldo. He's our youth pastor and our drummer. And now he's one of our bus drivers. He got his license this year. He's an awesome young man. That's Walter. He was one of the first Bible studies we ever taught way back in 99. He's still there. We were laying the tile. And I built the kitchen, put in the bathroom. It's a nice little apartment. That's Dwayne. He's going to school in Barbados, but he was home for the holiday. He gave us a hand. Nice little apartment, huh? That's the back of the church. And I welded the bars up on the windows Monday, and we left on Tuesday. I got all the bars welded for the windows on Monday. They just got to get them painted and put in yet. There's one of our friendly, hairy fellows there. They bite you and they get you a little sick, but they won't kill you. See, Leah, we just get it up and it started pouring. Here's our tornado. I really didn't want to be standing on the overhang when that was coming. It was just like, it didn't look good. There's Keenan with Benjamin in the sound booth. That was Barry, but the picture just didn't turn out so good. Some of our youth. There's our youth choir. Some of them. Usually our song service goes for an hour. They like to worship down there. We just have an awesome time in worship. They like to sing and dance and shout and run. Yes, Brother Putnam. We had him running around the church, man. He only made two laps, so I think he said, that's enough for me. Keenan outran him. There's Nick, and his mom came. She got the Holy Ghost that night. And a number of people, like I said, 20-something people got the Holy Ghost. The two young girls there, they were the ones that prayed her through the Holy Ghost. She was the first one that got the Holy Ghost this last year, or this year. All them young kids came from Lisette. One lady brought all those kids. They're in her neighborhood. She fills up my bus, man, when I pick her up. There were 16 there. That's when we had 18. No, that was still 16. That's when we had 18 vehicles. That was nice. That was our youth revival outside when we were having the conference. Young people were blessed. That's when we had 136 or 7. But this last Sunday we had 107, so thank you, Jesus. There was our two preachers right there for the Leeward Island Conference. It's Brother Herbert, Pastor Herbert from the St. John's Leeward Islands. He came a week early to give us a hand and preach for us. Pastor Brown from Nevis. There's our youth pastor, amen, Uraldo. It's Nathan Cash, he's from Brother Mangan's church. He came to preach for the conference. Most of them are all pastors from the Leeward Islands. That's the Leeward Island pastors right there. I was outside baptizing people. I wasn't there. We had a number of miracles happen this year. God instantly healed people. One of our lead praise singers, she came in. She had to be carried into the church. She was so sick. We laid her back in the Sunday school room, and we just prayed for her. And by the time the worship service got done, she came out and sang a special. Amen. God just healed her. And then we had another lady that had a kidney failure, and she only had one kidney, and her one that was good was going bad. And we prayed for her that Sunday night, and she went to the doctor on Tuesday, and the doctor said, "Ain't nothing wrong with you." Thank you, Jesus. We serve an awesome God. This number of the people got the Holy Ghost and baptized this last year. All those people were invited by one person, and they weren't all there, but that was what was there that night. It was Tiffany. She was the first one to get the Holy Ghost this year. That was in the purple dress. That's Pastor Long right there. He's the one that's taking our place right now, Brother and Sister Long. They're from New Brunswick, Canada, out of Brother Cole Price's church. This is their third year down there. That's Lisette, the one that brings a whole busload of kids. She was the last one to get baptized in the cow tank. When we got the other tank done, she said, "I want to get rebaptized." She wanted to get baptized in the new one. And that was from the conference. We had a lot of people baptized during the conference. as Sister Frank Berry met her on the street down by the farmer's market. She came, and God filled her with the Holy Ghost after she got baptized. She was so worried about getting the Holy Ghost. I said, it's a promise. Just get baptized, and you'll get it. And she got it. That's Egbert. His wife got baptized right before him. There's Geraldo. That's her. He baptized him this last Sunday. That was his first baptism. That was Brother Putnam there. Amen. That's our staff right there, our ushers and greeters and Sunday school teachers and praise singers. That's some of Antigua. It's a beautiful place to be. It's just that we never go much place. We just stay there working all the time. We took off 2 days this last year. We didn't do nothing. God is good. Let's give him a hand.
Praise God. Praise God. If our ushers would come for our second offering. Now, some of you are not aware of this, but Brother and Sister Smith went to an auction where they had this land, and they made an offer. It was accepted, and they purchased the land and started clearing the land off. Later on, started doing the groundwork, just building it as the money came in. So everything you see there, not just the addition, not just the porch or whatever, but the whole building, they built this from scratch. And some people from the States went down and helped, but for the most part, just Brother Smith and Benjamin and the people there and Sister Smith, I think maybe she helped some. Okay, she used to help. She just cooks for the boys. That's all she does now. So I'm telling you this because this is extremely important. These people have really worked. They have produced. They have really dug a church out of nothing. And we thank the Lord that they're there with this great youth group and no duds or anything like that. So we're asking you to give liberally. This offering goes to Brother and Sister Smith, and they are here. They come back every year. They're AIM workers. That's Associates in Missions. They come back here. They work for 3 months. They get enough money along with the support that they get from churches to support themselves then for the rest of the year. And they are highly deserving of anything that we can give to them. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me? And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for your tender love and care. Thank you, God, for Brother and Sister Smith, for their family. We thank you, God, for the work that they've done, the precious souls that they have reached. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, because we understand the value of a soul. We know, Lord, that you came and died and bled and suffered upon the cross to grant to people salvation. But preachers like Brother and Sister Smith must go and bring the gospel or take the gospel to them. I pray, God, keep your hand upon the Smiths. We take this offering of love for them because we care, and we are asking, God, that you bless this offering in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you give.
Jesus, I shall see. What a day that will be. It is a privilege and honor to be here, to see all the faces that I know well, and to see a lot of new faces that I don't know. There's nothing like serving the Lord. It is not work at all. I work hard every day. I only took off 2 days this whole last week or whole last year. You can ask anybody down there. And it doesn't bother me one bit because of what is produced. To see a life changed, to see them without any hope, to have purpose for their life. And I count it an honor and a privilege to be here tonight. I was going to speak to you about being in the providence of God, but he changed it to alabaster worship. I want us to read a verse, if you'd stand, as we read the Matthew 26. Two verses here. Matthew chapter 26, and we will start with verse number 6. When you're there, say amen. If you can't find it, say, oh me. Yeah. And I know you can find it because it's on the wall there, but let's all read together. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. Pastor, would you pray? Amen. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, my, my, don't you look fine? Remember, you're all created in his image, so he's all looking fine. Amen? I'll tell you about little Keenan. You know little Keenan, the little guy that's helped me do cement? And you seen him last year, the year before that, he was helping me with the tape measure when we were building the sound booth. So he's been there ever since he's been little. He's grown up in the church. And there's nobody like Keenan. This boy's got a voice on him. I mean, he outshouts you guys. You might not think he can. He can. One day we was working on the baptismal tank. We was working on the baptismal tank, so we're all standing. And he comes walking up. And this is the gospel truth, Pastor. He goes, hallelujah! And then all of a sudden he just starts standing on his tiptoes. He goes, hallelujah! And he starts yelling to the top of his voice, hallelujah! And he's standing on his tiptoe. You guys get this little kid, 2 years old. He wasn't even 2 years old then. Then he was only a year and a quarter, three-fourths. But he's standing on his tiptoes, just shouting at the top of his lungs, hallelujah! One night, I think it was a night, Sunday night, maybe it could have been Sunday morning, but he took off running, and he got the whole church to running. But this ain't unusual for Keenan. He'll just take off running. And he's not just some kid out of control running. And we do have some of them too. We have some that just run and they shouldn't be running. But when Keenan's running, he's not running to run. He's worshiping. He'll walk around in the front and he'll look up at Uraldo is kind of like his guy because he plays the drums. And Keenan really likes the drum. But he'll just stare at him and look at him. And he'll get kind of going like this, and he just kind of jumps around in the front. That's Keenan. And when I dedicated him, Pastor, I dedicated him as a preacher man. And I said, you know, parents say they want their kids to grow up to be police officers and firemen and this and that. I said, why don't you want it? How many people ever want their kid to be a preacher? Ain't not many. And I dedicated him as a preacher. He's going to be one. He's already one. He's just an awesome little guy. Nothing else is worth your trip just to come down here and see Keenan. Let me tell you. He ain't into youth yet, but I tell you what, he's a go-getter. But I want to tell you before, we just read about Mary in the alabaster box and the ointment. There's something about worship. It does something to God that I cannot explain, but I can tell you the results of it. I can show you in the scripture, which we will take a look at. But this last Wednesday night, 1 week ago, as we was in the worship, and you guys were getting with it tonight, and it was awesome. Best way we worship all the time. Sometimes they get into a slow mode and it's just all slow. But a lot of times it's just whatever. It's just neat. But we was just all worshiping. And I don't know how it started, Pastor. I really don't know what happened. But all of a sudden, when I looked around the congregation, there was a person by that person praying, a person by that person praying, a person by the whole. I'm not just saying just in one place. There was some come to the altar praying. Everybody was just ministering to everybody. It was, I never seen nothing like it in my whole life, Pastor. I'm looking around, I'm going, wow, all these people are just praying for each other during the worship. And it just fell apart then. I mean, we just started praying. But it was so neat because us as humans, mankind, it's in its fullness is usually pretty selfish, greedy, me. You know what I'm saying? But here, all these people were just ministering one to another. They wasn't concerned about themselves. What is it in for me? You know, God, help me with this. Help me with that. Help me, help me, help me. Heal me, help me. But they were just ministering one to another. There's something about the attitude of Mary. She comes into this room and she takes this precious ointment and she places it upon Jesus Christ. And I'm going to stop. That's it. We're going to go on because I want to show you about Mary. Go to the book of Luke chapter 10. We're going to pick this story back up again. I'm going to show you something. In Luke chapter 10, starting with verse 38, it says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat," where? "At Jesus' feet, and heard his words. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, doth thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.'" Now you got to understand, Mary was just sitting at the feet of Jesus doing what? Listening to his words. You as people and me, we all need to understand that when you come to commune with God, when you come to prayer, it's a good thing to shut your mouth and listen. Don't come there with all your petitions and requests and all this and all that. Sometimes you just need to come and sit at Jesus' feet and listen. Sometimes we're just so busy, we got our agenda and we got to tell Jesus everything that we need done. But sometimes Jesus would just like you to be quiet, open your ears, and listen. And we as people have a hard time doing it. I have a hard time doing that. You just sit there and don't say nothing. But you're in the presence of God. You get into his presence with some worship, and then just listen. Mary was listening. Martha was what? Serving. She was working. So all you laborers, listen up. I like what Jesus says here. "And Jesus answered and said unto her," it's like he's talking to a troubled young girl, "Martha, Martha, Thou art careful and troubled about many things. But this next statement, but one thing is, I didn't hear you. What? Ah, one thing is needful, not the serving part. And that is important. Serving is important. But Jesus said one thing is, what? Okay. And Mary hath chosen that. Oh, so there's more than one part. But the good part is the listening part, the sitting at his feet part, which shall not be taken away from her. So Jesus made a stand. He took up Mary's cause and said, she chose the best part. Now, Jesus liked the fact that he was getting served, and so did the disciples. I like being served. Amen. We all like being served. But Jesus said, what Mary has chose to do will not be taken from her. But remember, she chose to do it. And so must you choose to do it. This is going to get really interesting. So one works hard to serve, and the other sits at the feet of Jesus. That's this story, but let's go to the book of John, chapter 11. Same sister, same goings on again, but a new story. John chapter 11, starting with verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was come, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Once again, there's Martha and Mary. But now we see Martha, she's going to Jesus. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not... I want you to remember this statement that Martha made. Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. This is the statement she makes. Okay, but look what Jesus says. But I know that she's continuing her thinking. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection, I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come unto the world. In all this stuff, Jesus was basically giving her a Bible study. She made a statement, he makes a statement. She makes a statement, he makes a statement. He's giving her a Bible study. She asked him a question. Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. But this conversation goes back and forth. So Jesus has given Martha a Bible study, basically about who he is, what he's all about, what he's come to do. But look at verse 28. And when she saw, or excuse me, and when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for you. Now, I don't know if he really did or he didn't. Because in the scripture, it doesn't say that Jesus said to Martha, Martha, would you go get your sister Mary? Do you read it? If you read it, or if you find it, please tell me, because I can't find it no place in any of the stories that talk about this. But Martha goes to her sister Mary and says, the Lord's calling for you. Now, you got to understand, Martha knows something about Mary. Mary's got this relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? She's got this relationship with him. So she gets her sister and says, the Lord calls for you. Okay? But nowhere did Jesus ever say, that we can read anyway, that Jesus called for Mary. But Martha knew that if there was anyone that could touch Jesus, it was Mary. So look at verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she what? Fell at his. Almost every time you see Mary and Jesus, where do you find her? At his feet. She's always at his feet. Mary's always at his feet. Now look at this. Saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not. Isn't that what Martha said? Isn't that the exact same words as what Martha said? Same thing, but different person. Where is she? At Jesus' feet. Look at verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where hath ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Martha said the same thing as Mary. Exact same words. Martha gets a Bible study, but Mary gets her brother back to life. Same Lord, same question. One gets a Bible study, the other one gets her brother back. Okay? Now, let's go back to this original story back in Matthew chapter 26. Where we started. Our response to Jesus Christ makes all the difference of what we receive from him. Now when Jesus was come to Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But now let's look at this next verse. But when his disciples, that's his inner circle, when his disciples saw it, they had what? They had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? Mary came with a heart of worship. She was once again at the feet of Jesus. There were those that were his inner circle that seen it as a waste. They had indignation. You know what that word means? According to Webster and all that? A strong displeasure. So his inner circle was displeased with what Mary was doing. They didn't like it. It also says, considered unjust, offensive, or righteous anger. His inner circle was upset with Mary's worship. They didn't like it. But Jesus makes a statement. First he said, you leave her alone. And then he said, let this story be told wherever this gospel is preached. One gets a Bible study, the other gets her brother raised from the dead. Same question, two responses. Now his inner circle is even upset with what's going on. They were mad, maybe because that's our nature. I don't know. Maybe they were mad because she didn't pour nothing on them. You know? Who knows? But Jesus wasn't upset at all. When Jesus understood it, verse 10, he said unto them, "Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me." Remember the other story? She had chosen the better part or the good part. Mary's making good choices. True? And then it says, "For ye always have the poor with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she had poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for her." Why? Or for what? "For a memorial of her." There's something when you get at the feet of Jesus, church. I can't explain what I feel, what's going down in Antigua right now. But all I know is we're going to hear all these awesome reports because it's just fixing to blow. The young people are on fire. The older people are on fire. They're excited about what God is doing. He's healed people. They're praying people through the Holy Ghost. They're doing the work. It's neat to see what God is doing with those people. And I'm just this little part of the whole picture. It's so neat to see what God's going to do through them. And if we can get it going, we want to start Purpose Institute down there. God's going to have to help Mom and me because that's a lot to teach two people. But we want to train them and equip them the best we can so they can go out and do a work for God. But this worship, I'm understanding that we need to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to what he would have to say. It's good to serve, church. Don't get me wrong. You got to serve the Lord. But there's something about sitting at his feet and listening. In Matthew chapter 5, one last verse, part of the Beatitudes. Matthew 5 and verse 6 says, "Blessed are they which do what? And after what? And what'll happen? They shall be filled." If you sit at the feet of Jesus and you learn how to worship with that precious ointment, wouldn't you like God to have your story told to all the world because you learned how to worship him? God said, "Because you did it, I'm going to let everybody know how you love me." See, sometimes, and if we got any visitors here tonight, you might think the worship here is a little strange or you're not familiar with it. But when you get Jesus, when you understand that there is a man, there was a God that robed himself in flesh, and his name is Jesus. And he goes around touching the blinded eyes, and the lame, and the lepers, and the sick, and the brokenhearted. And he just touches their lives, the troubled, the downcast. And he ministers unto them, and he picks them up. He takes them out of that mire and the muck. I was a disgusting, foul-mouthed pig farmer that couldn't read, and God's using me to preach this gospel. But I learned how to worship at his feet and to pour the precious ointment upon him. And your story will be told through all the world how you love Jesus. And when you have a situation and a need, guess what? You can ask the same question that everybody else is asking, but you're going to get a different response than the others because you found out how to worship the Lord. I'm done talking. What I want us to do tonight, if you could, if you would, please. I don't know if anybody here needs the Holy Ghost or you need a healing. But if you need a Holy Ghost or need healing, I want you to just come right over here. And if you got over here, I want, if you got family situations, money problems, job situations, whatever, my God is able to save. He's able to keep. He's able to satisfy. I want you to come over here and we will begin to pray with you. But I want you to learn how to worship God. You guys were worshiping awesome tonight, man. You were. You got to be like Kenan's. Just cut loose and let it go. But let's come tonight. There shouldn't be nobody sitting in the pew because everybody needs something. Because I have family members that need saving. Amen. I got three sisters that need saving. Thank God I got to baptize my mama in 07 down in Antigua when they come to visit. A year later, in the Watertown Church, the ladies prayed her through to the Holy Ghost. And now they're, thank you, Jesus, in Texas where there is no snow. They're just taking it easy and nice in the warm weather. They deserve it. They're 70-plus years old. Thank you, Jesus, for giving them some time. We all got needs and situations and problems, and we all have, some have sicknesses and diseases, and they need the Holy Ghost. But God can meet every situation here, every need tonight, if you will learn how to worship Him, if you will come and sit at His feet, if you will come and sit at His feet, He will do whatever you have need of tonight, if you will learn to love Him. Really. I liked it when the girl came up here tonight and worshiped during the worship. I tell our people, man, if you feel like coming to the altar when we're worshiping, come. So let's come and let's find the feet of Jesus. Let us find that secret place. Open up your heart tonight like never before. In one place it says it was broken. The alabaster box was broken. If you will be broken before God and begin to pour out your heart to Him, watch what He will do to you and for you, and touch your families and your children, your mothers and fathers and husbands and wives, your children. He has a work to do and He wants to do it tonight. He wants to touch you and bless you. It's only going to get worse in this world as this day comes approaching. We have a God that is more than able, church.